How are we doing today?
Doing very well.
Are we all rested? Most of us are rested? Alrighty. So, as we continue on our journey in this great commission, we left off last week with love and learning how to love what God loves. And then I prompted you at the end of that with our next directive, our next principle, and what God's giving us and what Jesus had trained the disciples in. And that is to build. And in this building and what we're building, okay, we have to understand everything is geared and fixed towards the kingdom. Christ preached the kingdom. He trained in the kingdom. He taught the kingdom. Everything was based and built around the kingdom. There was nothing outside of that. Even in parables, all Jesus was teaching and even said, the parables are not for them. The parables are for you, to the disciples. And they're training in how to bring the kingdom forward. And then what happens is the outcropping of what Christ built came in Acts. Right? We all know this. Okay. So, what we need to do now is love, like we talked about yesterday, what Christ loves, and the one thing that Christ loved doing more than anything else was building. And what he was building was the church. And what people don't understand is that doesn't ever actually get stated in Scripture. Yet it is stated in Scripture. And today I'm hoping that I'll be able to showcase and show you guys where that is and what is actually being built. Because what we tend to think is that Jesus built a church and he showed the disciples how to build a church. I don't remember that in Scripture. Where was that? When did he build a church? Well, it's something that we already know and we've heard from Pastor in the previous messages before is that the church is not a building. Who's the church? We are. Okay? So, if what we're building is not an actual building, but we're building a church, which is us, then what are the materials? What are the stones? What's the foundation? What are all these things? Because these are all parts of a building, are we right? Most of us here have actually helped in building this actual house. And we know there was a lot of materials, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into building this house. Okay? And as builders and as building, we need to understand there's actually a great deal of things that we can learn from what God's revealing to us in building today. And the first thing I want to start with is actually to define build. Because what's actually really awesome about this, and God actually just dropped this in my spirit during worship, so you can give this to him again, is there's three definitions in the word build. And three means what? Trinity. We have the Trinity. Okay, so that means right now we have the Trinity in this word build. And the triune of the definition of build should hopefully amaze all of us. The first definition says, to construct by assembling and joining parts or materials. That means, first and foremost, when you're building, there's more than one part. So you have to understand, whenever we're building, whatever we're building, there's no one in the word build. If you use me, my, I, one, single, solo, mono, imano, whatever you want to use, whatever word you want to use in the word build, you need to talk with God, because that's not building. That's not what building is about. Second definition is to establish, increase, or strengthen. That means, guess what? Building deals with building up. It's more than just actually putting something in or putting something together, but it also has the duplicity in the fact that it actually has to be strong. It has to be of integrity. It has to be empowered. And then here's the best one. The third definition is to mold, form, or create. There's a product. There is something that is completed. There is something that is obtainable. It is not, it has to be measurable. We're building in a measurable material. So that means then, if we're building a church, folks, okay, if that's what we're building, and the church is not a building, but the church is people, lives, then we know right now that there needs to be many parts working in this building project. We know that it must be strengthened and empowered from, we'll get to that in a minute, and there needs to be an actual crop. That's building. That's what building is all about. So let's start at the very beginning of any building. And what does the very beginning of any building start on? A foundation, okay? A foundation. Now, the interesting thing about foundations is that we have books and materials that teach us about foundations and what our foundations are in Christ. But really, that's actually false. Your foundations aren't in Christ. Christ is the foundation, okay? There is no in Christ foundation. It is Christ. Christ is the foundation, okay? And what Christ did on the cross is actually the very beginning part of the foundation. That you could consider that the slate. And what I like about that is the fact that what he did on the cross wiped the slate clean. It tilled the ground. It pounded and tampered the ground flat. It leveled it. And then it was laid with a concrete slab that, guess what? Everybody starts at that level. Every single person here who accepts the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior started at that exact same spot. Nobody is different here. We're all built on Christ. Okay? So that means you cannot claim to be higher, better, bigger, better, whatever you want to say you are. You're not. Because you started where I started. And if we all start at the same spot, the only difference is what is built. So what then does the foundation do? Well, the foundation actually sets the tone for everything. The foundation sets the tone for the width, the depth, the height, how much is going to be in and built into. So when we have our foundation, guess what? If we correct this fallacy of, you know, it's, we have our foundations laid in Christ. No. They're laid on Christ, then guess who dictates what's being built? Christ does. Not pastor, not me, not anybody else. Christ is the main builder. He's the chief cornerstone. Okay? So what we have to understand about this building project is, first of all, again, like I said, if you think it's just you, you need to sit down and have that thinking corrected, because it's not. Now, who's with you? And that's what we have to establish. And that person that's with you and is building with you is God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. They are the ones that build with us. They're the ones that give us the instructions. They're the ones that give us the method, the principles, how to build, what is being built. And we're going to do a lot of reading from Scripture today, because I can't come up with this stuff. I just can't. It's too much. So the first place we're going to go, and we're going to spend a lot of time in this book, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. We'll start at the first section, which is chapter 3, verse 9. And we'll continue on to 17. I think actually, well, we'll see. I'll figure out where God wants me to stop. All right, so verse 9, chapter 3. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ, which is what we just established. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. There's a lot in those passages. But the key things we need to establish and what we need to do is, first of all, we are God's building. We are. So we already covered that. The church is not a building. We are the church, and we are his temple. Individually and collectively. Okay? Who's responsible for your temple? You are. Who's responsible for the collective temple?
We are.
This is good. I didn't make it up. So the one thing we have to understand about the foundation that Christ laid, okay, and this is a really interesting principle because we have communion today, and I was actually pricked about with communion and what was demonstrated and everything that was said. And what's interesting about it is that it's something that cannot be undone. That covenant cannot be erased. It cannot be undone. What Christ did on the cross is permanent. So guess what? When you accept that and you start that building process on that foundation of Christ, it's permanent. The only thing that is left is what's being built. There are people today that only have a barren foundation, that still do not have anything built into their foundation other than that. And that's dangerous because we just saw what happens. What's going to happen? It's going to get tested. Everything that is built upon the foundation of Christ will be tested. How many of us have been tested? How many of us felt the fire? How many of us came out with a reward? How many of us just escaped? Okay? How many of us just escaped? Because guess what? The thing here, and what you should understand about what Christ is saying and what God is saying here in this passage, is that you will always be safe because the foundation saves you. The foundation is salvation. The foundation is simply that. So you will always escape with your life. But the idea is not to have just that. That's not the idea. You're a temple. And what is that temple for? That's it. Your temple, you, the dwelling place that is in you, the cavity that you are, is only meant for one thing: to have God dwell in you. You have to have Christ as the foundation first. Why? Because it's the only way God will dwell with you. The only way. So now you have that foundation, that's great. But what are you building? What are you building? Because if it's not good enough for God, then it's not good enough for us. Because that's where I'm standing on. Because I'm responsible for my temple. I am. And I'll lay mine with gold, and I'll adorn with everything that is godly in principle. But guess what? When I come together with my brothers and sisters, I don't want somebody having a rickety temple. I don't want that. Because guess what? That diminishes God's presence as a whole. Amen. So if you think you're coming here and you call Streams home and you think that that's it and that's all you have to do, and oh, you got a foundation, that's great, but you're not responsible for building, think again. Because your temple better be sacred ground. Because when I commune with you, I want God's presence. Because I know He's in me. And guess what? When two or three are gathered, Dan, what happens? God's in the midst. But only if we're in the same temple. God's not divided, and God will not be divided. So that means we all have to be the temple. Amen. That's what He started with. You're God's building. We are His temple. And I want to take a look at something that really should open our eyes about the temple. Turn to Kings. First. 1 Kings 6. And it's only two short ones, but we got a lot more coming. It's the last two, 37 and 38. 1 Kings 6, 37, 38. This is Solomon's temple. Solomon had one thing that God blessed him immensely with, and that was wisdom. The wisest man in the Bible was Solomon. The wisest. And with all that knowledge and the building knowledge that God poured out upon Solomon, he was instructed to build the temple of the Lord. Because that didn't happen in the previous generation. And God's people needed a place so that God could dwell with his people. Right? And so Solomon was given instruction, and he did so, and he built a temple. In the last 2:37-38, the foundation of the temple of the Lord was laid in the fourth year in the month of Ziv. In the 11th year in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details according to its specifications. He spent 7 years building it. 7 is the number of completion or perfection. Do you think that that was not God's handprint on this temple? So what does that mean then? If we go back and we look at what God said about we're his temple, Christ is the foundation. Well, Christ's foundation being laid, that takes time. Now we have the building being built on the foundation, that takes time. But ultimately, that has to be what? 7 is perfection, completion. That means that what is built must be complete. There is no such thing as an unfinished work when it comes to God's temple. Now we hear that, and we say that, and you know, Pastor even came up here today. It's going to cost you everything you have, everything you are. And we've heard it before. Oh, and it's going to take a lifetime. Why is it going to take a lifetime? Why are you making that your timeline? I challenge you today. Complete it. Complete your temple. Because after all, it's only God's dwelling place. I think that might have some importance and relevance to want to expedite that process just a little bit faster, if you know what I mean. And not wait for a lifetime to do it. See, that's an excuse. God's temple. I want God's presence. I don't know about you, but he's not going to dwell in an unfinished work. He waits for the completeness of it. And that completeness took 7 years for Solomon. So guess what? I'm not saying it's not going to take time. It's going to take time. Because guess what? Every time you build something, what's going to happen? It's going to get tested. If it perseveres, you got a reward. You want to know what your reward is? Your building is stronger. Congratulations. Now you can build on that. Right. And now you know where you stand. You don't just stand on a foundation anymore. You actually have solid ground. You have a floor. Maybe you have carpet. Good for you. Now you start erecting a roof. It gets tested. Oh, that was made out of hay. Not a good choice of materials there. That burned up real quick. All right, but you still have your floor. You still have everything else. You're solid there. Now let's work on getting that roof right. We build a good roof. Now we're going through that right now with our church building. We're not going to settle for just any old roof, because when the testing comes, what's going to happen to that roof? And we're just going to get away with it. And it's going to cost God's people. We're not interested in that. We want quality. Everything Solomon put into his temple was quality. Everything was quality. And here's another thing. It didn't just happen there. If you read back a little bit, all of these other nations, all of these other people, the experts of their craft, built for Solomon's temple. The experts. Not just some flim-flam guy across the street that gives you a good offer. Solomon wasn't interested in that. He was wise. He knew. So, yeah, we need our wisdom. We need to know what God wants to build. Well, what does God want to build? That's a good question. When we sit down and we have to ask what God wants to build with us, I have to beckon to ask the question. Maybe you're not asking correctly. Maybe what you're asking is the wrong motive. Maybe what you're seeking is wrong. But I can always tell you one thing. People always go to the wrong source. They do. It's funny. We leave out this one integral person every time. And that person is the Holy Spirit. Christ sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us what? Help us what? Build. Build what? Now, all this time we're talking about the temple. We're talking about my temple. We're talking about building in you, building in you. Guess what? You're not responsible for building you. Somebody else is. So you better find out who's responsible for building your temple, because guess what? If it's not being built, it's because you're not calling on the right helper. The Holy Spirit. He builds. He's the helper to help you build. And if you go to the Holy Spirit and you say, I need your help. You want to know what's interesting? He actually does. But we're so busy pushing him away. We want to go to daddy. 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 Well, daddy gave the Holy Spirit to help you. He's delegated that authority to the Holy Spirit to do that specific responsibility. Daddy is great for getting blessings and gifts and all these accolades. Daddy loves his kids. That's right. He does. But why do you keep going to him? If you are only interested in getting gifts and getting blessed and getting this, you're going to keep going to daddy. And you're going to ignore the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have a whole bunch of stuff, but no place to put it. So why don't we start with the right hand? And why don't we go and talk to the Spirit, get something built that's actually solid and hold, and then go to daddy and say, Daddy, fill me. And then you know what he fills you with? Him. And then out of him, dwelling within you, all abundance flows. See, we don't build right. We don't build right. And if we start learning how to build correctly, maybe then we'll start understanding that when Jesus walked with the disciples, he built correctly. He showed us how to build into the disciples. And the reason why this hasn't happened ever again in history is because nobody's building right. No church is building right. This church is building right, but it hasn't been working all the time. It's been slow. It's been steady. But you know what? We have to build right. And the more that people hear about how they're building wrong, and maybe get on board and just read a little bit about what God says in here, maybe they can learn how to build right. And when we start building right, guess what? Acts will happen again. The world will be flipped right side up, and then Jesus is going to come. That's not my words. That's his words. That's why building is important. That's how important building is. So we talked a little bit about the solo effort and the solo act of building. And what I want us to look at, and Holly's going to laugh, is a lot of reading out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. And I said we got a lot of Corinthians time. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. How were you inferior to the other churches except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I pulled a pastor. So sorry. Hi. Wow. Hey, you know what?
You said it before I...
This is what he built. That's okay. 12:12, 1 Corinthians. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. and the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Able parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. We're talking about building. We're talking about one as many. We're talking about many parts. This past Saturday, or just did the other day, yesterday, we sat down and we realized how many parts are out there. And we realized that, guess what? Maybe we're an ear. Maybe we're an eye. Whatever we are, there's an ear over there. And there's a foot over there. And I feel like it's Humpty Dumpty, and we're going to put him back together again. Not really. We're not doing it. God's doing it. But we have to understand that we're only one part of a massive body. And that doesn't just mean streams. That means, Becky, you're a part of this body. And if you're not too sure about what I mean there, maybe we're an eye. For all sakes and purposes, let's just say we're an eye. Okay. We're an eye on a coffee table. Has anybody ever seen the inside of an eye? Some of us have. You know how many parts are inside an eye? A lot. So guess what? Yeah, you might be an eye, but you're a part of the eye. See, many parts make a whole. In every force, in every area. And what we're seeing here is just more of that fullness that God has given of building. Because you might not think you're important, but if you're a part of the eye, we want 20/20 vision in our eye. So guess what? We need you. You're just as invaluable as everybody else here. No less important than Pastor, no more important than me. Continuing. So that there should be no division in the body, but the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And the church God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. There are things that are built. And some will be built into apostles, some will be prophets, some will be teachers, some will be healers, some will be tongues, some will be interpreter of tongues. You will be built into something. Period. And if you want to know, you know, I'm really actually kind of interested in this thing. I'm really interested in building, and I really like what's coming out of Gary's mouth today. I really am intrigued, but I really do want to know, what am I going to be built into? You ever ask? Because guess what? If you ask, God, I know I'm your temple, and I know you're building something in me, but I really want to know what this is going to look like. I want to know what my house is going to be. Because it'll help me to really get my house in order. And I can do that. That's something I can do. I can prepare the way. Because after all, I'm responsible to prepare the way. I mean, don't you think you should have a hand in the work that God's doing in your life? I mean, you should, but you're not alone. There's people here that help. I asked, God said, guess what you're going to be? And I said, I already know. And he says, oh, do you? And I said, yes, I'm going to be the pastor. And he says, you're right. And I go and confirm that. And he says, yeah. And my wife says, no, you're not. And I said, okay, God. I said, I believe you. And I had confirmation of that word. I'll let you do your work. And if you ask my wife now, she'll say, it's okay. It's okay. And God did that, not me. That's not my doing. I didn't force it. I just listened. and I obeyed, and I heard what God said, and I agreed with him. So, yeah, do you want to be built into something? Okay, hopefully you do. When you go and you ask, and God says, well, I'm going to make you an apostle, you better darn well say, awesome. Because guess what? What he builds is awesome. You need confirmation of that? Go to Genesis. Because everything that is in here and everything that is around here, every single thing you see. I talked to my dad the other day. He's talking about the moon and the tides and how awesome that is. And if the moon gets blown up, guess what? What's going to happen to all the water? Whoosh. How awesome is that? Without a moon, we don't have water in our planet the way it is. It overtakes everything. That's not intelligent design like they want to teach in school. No, that's God designed. Because that's awesome. That's awesome. Everything God created was awesome. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but not love, I am nothing. Wait a minute. We're back to love again? Well, maybe we are. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude or self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. But now we see but a poor reflection, as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, love, and the greatest of all is love. What is built is faith, is hope, and is love. And it's not just, oh, well, I know what faith is. Oh, and I know what hope means. Oh, and I just heard the last message, and I know what love means. So I know these things. You are so wrong. You won't even understand. You don't know what building means then. Because building means you walk in faith. You live in hope, and every ounce of your life edifies in love. And it has to be perfect. And we understand that that perfection must be completed. So you can't just have a little faith and say, oh, but I'm the temple of God. But I can't believe that. That's too big for me to believe. Then you're not being built. You can't say, well, I hope that God's going to do this one thing. And we say, well, why don't you hope that God does this instead? Oh, God's not going to do that. What are you building? And then the worst of all, because it's the greatest of all, is love. And let me tell you something. I challenge every single one of you today. Take to heart this important part. Because if love is not the edifice of what is being built, or the epicenter of what is being built, if it is not the center, and it is not that love, that patience, that kindness, not boasting, not envious, that perfect love that guess who exhibited when he walked with 12 men across all these other nations, laying on hands, healing sick, casting out demons, walking on water. Everything he did. Even the fact that he turned around and he threw out all the salespeople out of the temple. And it was, oh, well, that was when Jesus was angry. In love. Because he loved God's temple more than anything else. And he loved building that temple more than anything else. And that is his prized possession. Because he died for it. He died so that every single person could have that foundation. So that something of worth could be built. Not your trash. Not your garbage. That's what was done on the cross. That was wiped away. Stop resurrecting your personal private works with this sign on top that says God's temple. Because guess what? I'm praying. I'm telling you right now. I'm praying that the testing comes and burns that garbage out. Because I'm not interested in you, in your temple. I'm not interested in what you got built. I don't want your building. I want God's building. And I want what God's building in each and every one of us. Because guess what? When we have a finished eye, we can see. And when we can see, and we're finally a usable part, we're going to find other parts of the body that belong to us and work with us. And guess what that means? We're going to have a hand that can reach, and we're going to have a foot that can march. We're going to have an ear that can hear the voice in the angels. That's what I'm after. That's what I want to build. And I'm not the only one that wants to build that way. And I hope that you guys all understand that if we're talking about disciples, and we're talking about the Great Commission, and we're talking about making those disciples and training them in the way that they go, guess what? If you're going to be a disciple, great. If you're going to be discipled, then that disciple, guess what he's doing? He's building in you. And guess what you better learn? You better learn how to build from him or her. You better learn really, really hard about what is built and how it's built. Because guess what? As you're going to learn next Sunday, after you build it, you don't stop there. Now you have to maintain it. Amen. 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 Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us today, God. And hopefully you've opened our ears and our hearts and our minds and everything in us, God, to just start clearing out the garbage, God, and getting rid of our personal works and our personal effigies, God. And starting to actually allow you, God, and Holy Spirit, with your help, to build this temple that you want. To build a dwelling place for you, God. So that you can complete the work that you started back on the cross. Back in the garden, God. And every single day you work and build in our lives. And you test everything that you build, God. So that your perfect, complete work may be made through us and in us, God. We surrender that to you today, God. We ask God, in our personal time with you today, God, show us what you're building. Show us where we belong, God. Show us what is that perfect work you want to build, God. And most importantly, God, build that work in us. Bring our brothers and sisters in line, God, so that we can complete this work as a body. As one unit, God, even though we are many parts, God, we thank you for this today. In Jesus' name, amen.